Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of July, recording at 5 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, this is my first audio since last Wednesday, having been away for a couple of days, but interesting market action in here to comment on. Now, you remember, in talking about stock markets in these trading ranges, and I've said before, there's nothing more difficult than dealing with trading ranges, because so often within a range, or certainly with a range that's continuing or being extended, that it'll get up to the higher side of the range, inevitably encouraging hopes that it will break out on the upside, and often fail, or certainly fail if it's going to extend the range, and similarly it'll go down to the lower side of the range, and will then look like it's about to break down and get everyone alarmed and then turn. And how do we spot the turns? Well, we look for dynamics on the charts. And in May, I think it was late in the second week of May, we had the initial upward dynamic off the lows, and then we had a whole series of upward dynamics that carried into June and right through June and into July, and we hadn't had any upward dynamics. And you'll remember in my reviews that I could see as people were gradually emboldened and more bullish forecasts were coming out, projecting the S&P up as high as 1300 for this year. That was one forecast that I reported on, and you could see why people were saying this. They were talking about all the liquidity in the markets and the U.S. economy improving, the global economy in a synchronized recovery, interest rates are only going to go up slowly and not all that much at all, etc., etc., and the corporate profits, all the corporate profits thing. You remember all that. And while one never wants to be arrogant about any view in the market, and while subscribers sometimes I want you to say, nope, this is going to happen, this is exactly what's going to happen, I know it, and then in other words, come down with a really hard, aggressive view, I think you're all also aware that that kind of heroics isn't always good analysis. In other words, if we shoot from the hip like that, then we'll make some good guesses and we'll make some bad guesses, but the batting average will be around the 50-50 level, if not worse. And I prefer to, I always have a script in my mind, I always want to have an open mind, I want to look at both sides of the argument. That doesn't mean the one's prevaricating or vague or whatever, but sometimes the evidence is quite clear, sometimes the evidence is very mixed. And you know my view, that we were getting up towards the higher side of the trading ranges, where I felt, and I've said all along, that the highs that we had seen this year were at least penultimate tops, in my view, and that I, of the three things markets could do, big move on the upside, extend the sideways range, big move on the downside, that sideways to lower, I felt, were the odds-on possibilities. Much greater, in other words, that we would see one of those two possibilities rather than the big upside move. But as of last Wednesday, when I recorded that final audio, I hadn't seen any evidence to indicate real selling pressure coming in on these stock markets. Well, we saw that on Thursday, and while I was away, and we had a definite downward dynamic on the S&P index, and that also affected some of the European indices, and we saw some follow-through in that same area in terms of weakness, follow-through weakness, occur last Friday as well. Now, 2 days aren't game, set, and match in this business. But that's the first real sign. That was the missing link in terms of a bearish argument. We hadn't seen any real resistance encountered near the higher side of this trading range. Now we have, and my very simple discipline rule of thumb on dynamics is that once I see a market dynamic, particularly in a trading range, I'll back that dynamic until it's countermanded, in other words, reversed by at least an equal dynamic in the opposite direction. In other words, on Tuesday, when Wall Street reopens, we'd have to have a very big rally for some reason or other that offset the technical damage that occurred on Thursday and Friday. Now, if that happens, we'll know what it means, and I will, in all probability, and I will certainly comment on it. But right now, I'm saying that against that background of short-term overbought indicators, prior resistance up at the higher side, excuse me, of the trading range where we'd expect stock markets to encounter some resistance, well, they have. And therefore, I am content to hold on to my short positions in these stock markets. Now, in today's comment of the day, I have put up 15 point and figure charts of various stock market indices. They're all national indices with the exception of the Gold Bugs Index, which I also put up. And I think you'll be interested in those. Now, not all of you are that familiar with point and figure charts. Probably my most veteran subscribers, in the sense that they've been with me for many, many years, a couple of decades or more, some of them will be very, very familiar with point and figure charts. And I have had a number of my somewhat older and more experienced subscribers saying to me, occasion, David, can we have more point and figure charts? And I certainly like the point and figure charts. They've been an important part of my technical work since the mid to late 1960s, and I never want to be without them. I use basically just the point and figure charts and the candlestick charts. And because I can run these candlestick charts up so easily on my Bloomberg terminal, I tend to look at those more than the PNFs. But they're both useful, and the PNFs, I think, are particularly good for some of the longer-term perspective. They tend to iron out some of the mental noise that that one does see on charts. Now, I think, if you're not familiar with point and figure charts, I should know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that we have a description of how they're actually constructed, which we use in the chart seminar. And I think that that's in the subscribers forum, but if it's not, then by all means contact the forum editor, Owen Tracy, who is doing the comment on Thursday and Friday, incidentally, and also the audios, and ask him if he would post that there, and because I want all my subscribers to feel comfortable with the PNF charts if possible, and obviously it is. So, what's the net conclusion from those? Well, it's mixed, somewhat mixed, but two things that stand out are the loss of upside momentum and the break of uptrends in a number of cases. So the consistency characteristics, in other words, that we had seen during the rally last year, which began for most of those indices in March, have well and truly ended for the most part. The one exception there is that Australian index. So that has continued to rally and maintain its consistency characteristics. But none of the others have, and the weight of evidence suggests that the risks in these stock markets outweigh the potential reward, and we'd need to see some sustained upward breaks by others in that group or I would need to see that to alter that technical view. So, some of my high yielders, though, I notice are still doing quite well, and that's a stock like Fenner in the UK. I wouldn't be adding to that right now, but I'm very happy to hold it. If I had positions, I would want to have the high yielders, and where that yield looks safe. In the UK, for example, there's a tempting high yielder in Sainsbury's, but the business is shrinking and the yield is under pressure. They may not be able to hold the yield. They can only pay it out of revenue or borrowing. I beg your pardon, not revenue. But can only pay it out of borrowings for capital that retain capital in the business for so long. If they're not able to cover it through earnings, they can only do that for so long before it has to be has to be cut. Similar problem perhaps with Lloyds Bank. Incidentally, also on stock markets, the lead indicators, while some of the lead indices, such as Thailand and India, have steadied recently and could see further technical rallies, and that would be a positive lead for global stock markets, the lead shares, really the banks in particular, such an important lead sector for me. I've always looked to the banks for leads, and they are generally quite weak, underperforming the major stock market indices, so I don't like that that picture as well. Thus, I'm happy to have a number of short positions in futures. These are in US and European futures. I'm not really aggressively short, but I may be increasing those shorts, certainly given those downward dynamics that we saw and failing, you know, without any countermanding dynamics in the opposite direction. I want to see what happens to Wall Street post the 4th of July. I may well add to shorts there, but again, some of my individual shares that I'm happy to hold on to. I've got that leveraged position in Newmont Mining. Been holding that for a while. That certainly required some patience, and I rolled over my June position into September at a loss for this current trade. It's the pattern looks reasonable in terms of further rally potential. And another one that I'm holding that I went back into quite recently, having been out for a number of months, was at Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, and that chart looks quite good. So there's still opportunities, and as long as markets are ranging in here, there'll be plenty of opportunities. But this is not a time to be aggressively long in stock markets. That's the bottom line position. Now, global bond markets, they're continuing to rally. U.S. Treasuries had a good day on Friday, up 107 on those employment figures that weren't as strong as people had actually expected. And the JGBs I hadn't looked at earlier today. But, well, they were down one tick today. So it's hardly anything, virtually unchanged on the day. I'm hoping that they will push a little bit higher. Both of these are now above where I covered my my short positions, and I'm hoping they move just that little bit higher still. But I maintain that global bond market bull trend ended in June of last year, as you know. Now, let me go into the currencies next. The euro had a good day on Friday. You know, it's been really a case of rotation here among the dollar, the euro, and the yen, and no currency's been able to rally for more than a day or at most two in here recently in all this ranging activity. And true to form, we've got the euro down a little bit, back to 122.80. But the pattern does suggest that the euro is going to be moving somewhat higher against the US dollar. But not enough for me to want to have a position there. Ditto dollar yen pattern suggests to me that the dollar will work a bit lower against the Japanese yen, but there's all that prior support down around the 105 area, so I'm not interested in terms of actually taking a position in here in these currency markets myself. Much more exciting area overall is in the supply inelasticity trades, and that's mainly the metals, and I it's interesting having rued the day because I hadn't taken profits on my lead trade when it got up to around that 840-850 area, and I saw it get up there three times and back away. And well, here I'm looking at the 3-month lead position here today, and it says 877. It's broken up out of this little trading range. Now, this has been plenty volatile, as you know, but this is good action, and the cash is up to 915. I'm still there. I have raised my stop. It's been quite loose all along, thank God, or I would have been stopped out on a number of occasions. So I've got about half my profit at risk, my paper profit at risk, but I have been able to move that up, and I want to see what happens on the heels of this break out of the current trading range. It hasn't broken through the high that we'd seen earlier in the year, so there's still resistance up at these levels, but that is good technical action. I notice there's some talk of strikes in Chile. I'm always happier when it's actual demand for the metal rather than that type of news, because all strikes are settled, and then you get the inevitable reaction. But copper is quite strong in here in the LME today. The U.S. markets are closed, of course, but copper currently trading at 2735. That's $2,735. That's up $54 in here today. So that's good action, and nickel, which I have so often described as a leader, just continues to push its way up. It's up another $450 in here today. So the sector really does look quite firm. It's outperforming the precious sector at the moment. I've only got the lead position, but I have talked previously about adding some more positions, and I may go for the I may go for the copper. I definitely want something with a backwardation, though, so I will have to look at that tomorrow, see how that's trading. Also in this area, orange juice had a good day, very good day on Thursday. The September contract is up at 65.65. Now I've got an in-the-money stop on that position as well. That was my most recent of the commodity trades. But I noticed that on Friday it had a tail. In other words, 65.65 was a close, but it had been up to 67.25, so it couldn't hold the higher level. Therefore, given the volatility of these soft commodities, that come tomorrow, if that orange juice is not firm, I will almost certainly take the profit on that, and then stand, and it would be quite a good little profit in this short-term move, and then stand aside and hope that it pulls back a bit, giving me another opportunity to move in. I've described all along as a case that I felt there was a case for a bear squeeze in here, and we've certainly seen that in fortunately in the last couple of weeks or more. And this tail, though, does suggest to me that we may see a reaction. These things are seldom straight line. So that's worked out. The one in the softs that is costing me money at the moment, although not a huge amount, is the soybean contract, which was down 8 on Friday at 688. Okay, and as far as the oils are concerned, crude oil did rebound quite strongly on Thursday and Friday. Natural gas, which I have, was also up, and we had a small upside key, I think, on Thursday, but Friday was a little bit of a disappointment. That position is in the money here now, but it hasn't moved up as much as the crude, but the pattern again is still oversold in the short term, found support near a previous low. Looks to me like that could rally a bit further. Well, it's good to be back at the job with this fascinating challenge of commenting on markets for you, and especially when there's some good news to report on our positions. Have an excellent evening.